Caroline Darney for the win at CW Darney on Twitter. Is not only an outstanding reporter on ACC Matters, she just so happens to be maybe the most level-headed Virginia fan I know.
Wow.
And she joins us. Look, that's not exactly a compliment, just so you know.
It's I'll take that every day of the week. I appreciate that. You know? those two statements rarely go together.
See, that's why. It's a low bar.
Oh, it's a huge compliment. Huge compliment.
So the reason why we're talking with Caroline Darney, because over the weekend, so some people might have escaped them with everything else that was going on. We had a Super Bowl that we're all focused on completely. LeBron James broke a record. Kevin Durant got traded. All of that. Shouts to the NBA, by the way, for taking the Super Bowl off our sports minds for about 3 days. But Duke and Virginia ended at the end of regulation, somewhat controversial occurrence where a foul was called. Where it probably was a foul on Reese Beekman, but I think they called it on somebody else. And Kyle Filipowski should have been at the free throw line. Wasn't. They took the foul off the board. Virginia won in overtime. And I had zero problem if they don't call the foul, because we've seen that not called before. And yeah. Virginia, as good as they are, hey, look, Duke played well. Take that and go home. That's fine. No problem. But the way it played out was a problem. So, Caroline Darney, if they call the foul, should Kyle Filipowski have been shooting free throws?
So, this is a complicated question. They called the foul, as you mentioned, on Ryan Dunn. So, this is the thing. There's so many pieces, and there were so many mistakes made by the players. This is mistakes made by the referees, and then later, I think, ACC officials. And by that, I mean, the biggest mistake was blowing the whistle in the first place, because I agree with you. I looked at stat broadcast today. I think it was for about the last 4.5 minutes of that game.
Right.
The refs did not call a single foul. And if you remember, that game was tight down the stretch, obviously, if it's tied at, you know, the buzzer going up. The only foul that they called was one that Virginia gave by Reese Beekman with like 10 seconds left or whatever it was. So there was a lot of contact in the paint that was not being called throughout the last few minutes of the game, which, fine. You know, it is what it is. A lot of the fans across the ACC have asked for this season and seasons before is consistency. And so if you're not making those calls, then don't decide to make it. I mean, you can make the argument for the Super Bowl last night, right? So if you're not calling that hold for the other three quarters, do not call it with 1.5 minutes left.
You and I don't agree as much as you think we do, but that's fine. I'll continue.
This is just how I'm looking at it. Is like the first mistake I think they made was blowing the whistle, because I think it was a close play that was either way. And so if they did not blow the whistle, we do not have this drama.
No, not at all.
The second biggest mistake was issuing the statement, in my opinion, because the statement made everything worse. Because in the statement, they say that the foul was assessed on Ryan Dunn.
Right.
So you're asking, you know, if it was a foul, should he have shot free throws? Well, then you get into the technicality of, I spent an hour this morning scouring the rule book looking for information on blocks.
Right.
Because they mentioned the pass of the ball or the flight of the ball, et cetera.
The ball's still in flight. In other words, if they get the shot off before the buzzer, which Filipowski clearly does, and there is a foul in any part of that sequence, then it's a foul.
Unless, in my opinion, and this is what I couldn't find any clarification on, the path of the ball is disrupted by a block, which is what the non-call on Reese Beekman would imply. So this is where things get dicey, right? So if you're saying that Reese Beekman at 6'3", he did go straight up. We can have conversations all day long as to whether or not he got ball first in hand, which is allowed for the rules, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the ref determined in that moment the foul was not on Reese Beekman. Reese Beekman affected the flight of the ball. So at that point, is it still the shot? You know, this is where things, like I said, get hairy, because, again, I can't find anything in there about blocks or blocking, and I'm sure it's hard to search because blocks comes up with block charge, and you don't want any of that drama.
No, we don't. Ugh. Exactly.
Here, all this is to say, if they decide that it's on Dunn, there is very little, if any, evidence that Dunn fouled him. I think that is the
biggest
part. So in retrospect, what the statement does is say, oh, it should have been a foul on Dunn and Filipowski should have shot two free throws. That's worse, I think, as an outcome.
Way worse.
Because then they're going to issue a statement to Virginia saying, oh, Dunn didn't actually commit a foul, but we put this guy on the free throw line. No, they're not going to do that. So the end result is not a loss. They didn't get handed a loss. That's my biggest beef with this whole thing, yeah. I think, is the people saying, like, Duke got handed a loss by the ref. No, they went to overtime.
All right, so here's where you and I are going to part agreement. One, I don't think it matters what they have called before. Same, I talked about this already in the football game. I don't think it matters what they have called or not called before. If the referees see a foul and they call a foul, then that's a foul, and I have no problem with it.
I agree that should not be something that's like, in this moment, you can't call that.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing. Like, you know, because people will say, like, oh, I bet you thought it was a foul when Kyle Guy got hit. Yeah, it was a foul when Kyle Guy got hit against Auburn. Like, you call that in that situation because it's a clear and obvious foul. That's where I think the Reese going straight up and I also think the discussion's maybe a little bit different if, like, this is the equivalent of Jeremy Roach blocking Caden Shedrick. Like, I feel like that's lost in this is the athleticism of the play that Reese Beekman made is
wild. It's a great play. And again, I would have been okay if they don't make the call.
Yeah.
My whole point is this, and this is what I said on Twitter, and I didn't... You and I took our conversation about this offline,
yeah.
So as it was just you and I and not everybody in the world.
Right.
You know, I didn't want Elon Musk kicking me off Twitter because I didn't like the way this was adjudicated. And frankly, I didn't care. At the beginning, I said, if they call nothing, I'm okay with it. But they didn't. I have 2 points about this. The first is they call the incorrect player for a foul often. I'm not saying it happens every game, but they get that wrong enough to where it's not out of the realm of possibility that with two guys defending on the play, they got the wrong guy for the foul in their minds.
How do they not fix that in the statement, though?
That's the ACC's problem. It's the ACC statement that was bad, and I don't know why. Because maybe they didn't look at the video.
That exacerbates the problem.
There's no question about that. Let me just finish this real quick.
Because the real
problem is this, that once they assess a foul, if the shot would have been good had it gone, then the foul is the foul. And it doesn't really matter whether that foul occurred after the light went on or not if they decide to assess a foul.
I agree because I think this is where it comes in with the whole who it was on and the fact that it was the flight of the ball. Reese blocked it. Like, that is why that shot went so wild, because Reese blocked it. Like, whether or not you think he got arm first or all these other things, Reese touched the ball and impacted the flight of the ball.
No question. I don't think any of that matters, to be honest.
But I think that is if any other play is going on, right? So if someone is, you know, blocking the ball, and that play is not determined to be a foul, but they land and then they say that it's a foul or whatever, then that's not in the, like, that's where I think it gets dicey. And that's where it's after the horn went off is what they were saying. That was and the other part that really made things bad was the in arena announcer said they determined there was no foul. Well, that's not allowed. They think that the foul was after the shot process of Reese versus Filipowski.
Well, maybe that's semantics if it happens after.
It absolutely is. And I think my guess is it was probably something similar to, and I'm not defending this for people who might want to, I've been called a nitwit and an idiot and whatever else. I'm just saying.
Somebody called you a nitwit?
Right? In 2023.
Like a nitwit? How come nincompoop didn't come up?
Like, you know,
ignoramus?
I think it's similar to a play in which rather than calling like an over the back and giving a player a foul on a rebound attempt, they just give the ball to the team it was clearly off on.
Yeah.
And so the refs probably were like, ugh, we messed this up big time. We can't really call inadvertent whistle. We can't. You know, and they decided that, oh, this was the play. This play of Reese versus Filipowski ended. And now it's after the buzzer when Ryan Dunn gets involved, and therefore it's not a foul because it, like, or the foul occurred after. Not that the foul was waved off. They're saying, sure, the foul happened and whatever. Then the ACC gets involved and adds the flight of the ball and the other stuff. And
that statement by the ACC was bad. I agree. What we need, legitimately, what we need is what the NFL provided last night after the football game, where they have a pool reporter. She asked Carl Cheffers the question, and he goes, no, he was a jersey pull right off the line of scrimmage. It impeded the pass route. End of discussion. He said there was no debate. Yeah. Because we saw the play, we saw the penalty right off the play. So there was no debate in this. It would be great if, I don't know who the crew chief was. I know our friend Tim Clockerty, he was one of the officials on the play. My issue was that it didn't appear that any of the three officials really knew the rule, which was probably
clearly rules are so convoluted that there's an issue there. Because I went through the whole thing. And so what really, really stinks to me in this whole situation is, one, that was a really, really fun game to watch, to cover, to be in the arena for. And now this is all that's going to talk about. And I feel bad. I honestly
I don't think anybody's talking about it anymore. I really don't.
The tough ending.
Not even
John
here.
John asked about it this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he was. Yeah.
The one thing that I do think that why the ACC may have made a statement is this is now two late game situations that would be extraordinarily frustrating for you if you're a Duke fan or Kyle Filipowski specifically, and both in the state of Virginia. I don't really think there's a Virginia
Oh, that's right. A similar thing happened up at Virginia Tech.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think part of this was the ACC, and I mean, there's just been so much more referee talk. No one wants to talk about the refs.
That's why we should never have press conferences involving referees ever.
And so it's the whole thing, you know, the coaches can't say anything or else they get fined.
See, that's dumb too. The coaches should be allowed to say something.
Yeah, so the whole thing, it's a big mess. I feel, you know, and here's the big thing, right? Duke could have turned it over less. Virginia could have made more free throws.
22 turnovers. That's why Duke lost. You can't turn it over. When you play Virginia, there's only like 30 possessions. How do you turn it over 22 times?
Well, and you can't put yourself in the position where you go way under your average from the free throw line.
Right.
They missed 9 free throws in regulation. Like, this is a blowout if, you know.
Right. Is Beekman going to stay healthy?
The Coca-Cola Company, Keurig Dr. Pepper, and PepsiCo are bringing consumers more choices with less sugar than ever before. In fact, nearly 60% of beverages sold contain zero sugar. Visit balanceus.org to learn more.
At Progressive, we know there's nothing like the feeling of riding a motorcycle with your crew on the open road. It's a primal, wild freedom, a feeling that would be impossible to recreate on the radio. Until now. Hit it, sound effects guy! No. You know, we really lost our stride at the end there. Get 24/7 roadside assistance with Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Roadside assistance subject to policy terms and limits and may require comprehensive coverage.
Is Beekman?
Yeah.
Oh, God, he better.
Yeah.
He's finally back to that. Oh, man, he is so athletic.
He's a heck of a player.
He went up and met him in there. Like, that's the conversation. You know, like, there were so many great plays in that game. You know, you saw so many, I think it was a drive by Proctor in overtime where he just kind of dribbled around and you're like, oh, he's going to lose it. And then like had this beautiful hook shot. You had Grandison tying it, like Armand going off. Like, it was just such a great, fun game. And hopefully eventually people will get out of the mentions of people who cover Virginia or the Virginia official accounts and stop saying like, you stole the game.
No, nobody stole anything. Again, would have been fine if they just, oh, we're going overtime, and then Virginia blew Duke's doors off, and that's what happens. Duke's starting a whole bunch of kids in diapers, and Virginia's got a bunch of older guys, which is fine. Kihei Clark has been there. This is eighth year?
Yeah, he played with Ralph Sampson.
Caroline Darney for the win at CW Darney on Twitter. Again, the most level-headed Virginia fan I know. Which is a short list. I appreciate your time. Be well.
Talk, it was fun.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Thanks. Caroline Dorney.
This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Hey, Chief, we got a damaged RV on its way to the OR.
Well, that sounds like a job for the new head of RV surgery.
Wait, are you promoting me?
Congrats, Martinez.
Doctor, that RV's flatlining.
Well, that sounds like a job for the new head of nursing.
So you're just promoting everyone now?
Yeah, kind of looks that way, doesn't it?
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms.